These gatherings are to have a direct conversation with Maitreya so that we can learn this new teaching and realize how this indeed is from God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. We will conduct these sessions as we do our regular live sessions during the week. The differences are, we do not read Maitreya's teachings, since Maitreya himself is here. And Maitreya is the person who will answer your questions in a conversational manner, not as a discourse, as he did before. If you would like to listen to his previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room called Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously. If you would like Maitreya to answer your questions as a discourse, request it to be answered that way, not in a conversational manner. Those who raise their hand will have priority, will be answered first. If there is no hand raised, the questions in text will be answered. If no hand is raised and there are no questions in text, Maitreya will explain the eternal divine path and our teachings. We will have this session for 1.5 hours.
Room, welcome to the Krishna Maitreya's conversation room. Let us start our session by remembering the formless, invisible, nameless, eternal God that has created all things, that has promised humanity that he will do all the promises he gave to Abraham, to Isaac, to Moses, to Christ, to Muhammad, to Baal, to Daniel, the prophets who have seen the vision at the end time, but they have been instructed not to reveal it to man. So it fulfills the prophecy of foretelling of God, that God will be a mystery until the end time, when the last revelation will come to man and explain the unity of all religions, and that there is only one God, and there is seven revelation, major revelation to humanity. And then we understand these seven major revelations, and when they are explained to us as revealed the eternal divine path, we can see God indeed exists. He is in charge of the history and man, and all cultures and humans are his children, and we are here to realize that there is only one God and all revelation have come from him, and therefore understand his teaching ourselves in the greatest degree and spread it to other humans and to humanity in general, and gather those who have the heart and the mind of God in them, and they have created this connection for many lifetimes of meditation and unity, and they become one. Just a second, I have it. Here our system a little acting up. Okay. So, we can all come together and create the universe or the world, a great place for everybody to live and progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. This prophecy and this expectation is now fulfilled, and the last revelation of God has come to humanity, and it explains how God has been sending this revelation before this one by one, and each humans or each society took a part of this truth as the ultimate truth for them, and now they are very attached to this part and they do not want to let go of. But of course God promises and he fulfills them, and now he is in the process of fulfilling the prophecy of coming of his kingdom and understanding the mystery of God that will not be revealed until the seventh angel comes. And of course this mystery is now revealed, and those who understand, have the vision, have the Spirit of God, those who have been preparing themselves for this time are called to come and see clearly that God indeed is the God who fulfills the promises he gives to man. And he is an able God, he indeed is in control, and those who do not believe that, of course, will be left behind, and in an evolutionary process they have not progressed enough to see this vision so clearly and so precisely it's been sent with God to man. And if you have the slightest spirit of God in you, you see it clearly, yes, it indeed makes sense. You will not fight it, you will not resist it, you will not become unhappy while your religion or your dogmas is no longer valid, but the truth is a path, is the way that you walk it. It doesn't have any dogmas, it doesn't have any second person comes after prophet and tries to accept their own ideas or opinions as God's revelation, and because they have had ego themselves, they explain the prophet egoistically, and of course because their ego tempts the explanation, the man loves that better, because man also have ego, and therefore their explanation become more important than the explanation or the revelation of God and the Word of God. Therefore in this time we all have to go to the Scriptures and the revelation in the holiest of the holies, and what is revealed to us through God, and not listen to anyone else but the prophets themselves, and not even follow those who are assertive in their opinions, and their opinions become the norm for the Word of God. The Word of God is very flexible. It is able to adjust itself to the situation. It's inclusive and it's universal. Any teaching that does not have these properties are not complete the Word of God and are dogmas. Therefore, humanity now is in the brink of an evolutionary process with this revelation, and any time a prophet comes, it is a blessing for those who are ready and prepared, and is a torture for those who want to resist it and they do not want to progress to the next evolutionary step. The next evolutionary step is to realize that all religions before this revelation are not perfect. They only have a part of the truth. Therefore, if you do not have the whole vision, if you do not have the whole truth, you will make mistakes for sure. Because you don't know the mystery of God, and you try to explain those mysteries according to ideas and opinions, and therefore you have no choice but to make mistakes. And that's exactly what happened to the prophet, to the religions before this one, because they did not have the whole picture, the whole vision. Now the whole vision is clearly given to man. It's very simple. There is seven revelations, there is seven messages in each of them, and by understanding them, you realize there is five steps in the eternal divine path. The first step is to awaken your spiritual forces, which means to meditate, to concentrate, to contemplate, to pray, to gaze on the eternal divine path, in the greatest sign, and come to the point that you realize, yes, indeed, you are connected to God, and your spirit and God's spirit are one. Then you realize, actually, you are not there at all, but God is there completely, and you are connected to God. With understanding this and realizing this, of course, you become an instrument for God. And the next step, God says, create communities of light. That is the base of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And if you study the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament is based on God trying to find a people. Okay, go ahead. We have a question here from Brad. Go ahead, Brad. Brad, you have your hands raised. Did you mean to ask a question? If you have a question, go ahead, grab the mic. Okay, Brad, if you have a question, pick your hands up and then put your hands up again. It might have got to stop with something. My mic is still broken. I will type. Okay, sure, go ahead. Type. But your hand is still up. Okay. Okay, go ahead and type your question, Brad. Meanwhile, again, go back to the Eternal Divine Path, which we're explaining the communities of light, and the whole Old Testament is based on God wants to find a people who will create community based on God and His laws. To create such a community, of course, cannot succeed if there is no sacrifice and everybody says, what is it in it for me, or you will not participate or add to the community, and that is the message of the third seal, sacrifice, and that is the message of Christ, that He said that we have to love our neighbors as ourselves, and that is a community that each individual and group work together and create an environment that everybody has the physiological and safety needs are taken care of, and they have a place they can meditate and have agenda and spiritual forces that will create a greater community. And still in this stage, they might not completely be surrendered and say, submit to God, and they say, no, my will, not thy will be done, and therefore create friction and destruction in the community. So the next step is surrendering a submission to God. And that is, of course, the message of Islam. Islam means to surrender and submit to God. And with this, of course, you still might have a narrow mind and just live in a very small part of the universe. You might not still, you know, completely become universally. The next step is universalism, which is the message of Baha'i. Yes, in self-pities, whatever your name is, why don't you type your question in text? Unless we know the nature of your question, then if your question is based on our teaching, and on topics which is the mission of Maitreya, then we let you take the mic. Go ahead and type your question on text so we know, you know. Please tell me where you draw your authority. Okay, that's a good question, and it's a fair question. Okay, I'll let you have the mic and what you do, tell us exactly what you want to know.
Yes, thank you. I don't mean to be insulting, and I truly apologize if I sound this way. But I'd like to know where you derive your authority. Please tell me the Maitreya is a very important, aspect in historical history, in history. Someone who's been prophesied, of course. And so I would like to know, please, where you derive your authority. Also, I hear you mentioning things Baha'i. I would also please like to know what your opinion is of the covenant of Baha'u'llah, the position of Abdul Baha, and the great grandson of Baha'u'llah, Shoghi Effendi.
Very good questions, and if, of course, this is a conversation with me, so if you want to make it in a conversation, you can always raise your hand and you can converse in this matter. My authority is come from the Word of God, from the prophecies, from genealogy, from the truth that have been revealed through me to humanity and explains that, first of all, it is prophesied that it's going to be seven angels, seven revelation will come to humanity, and when the seventh angel comes, he will reveal the whole truth and finish the revelation of God. That is a scripture based on the word of God, and God clearly says in chapter 10, verse 7 in the revelation, no one knows the truth until the seventh angel comes. Therefore, anybody before the seventh angel is not authorized, is not permitted, not given the whole truth, and even if they have given some truth, they have not revealed to humanity. Just like Daniel had the vision of the end time, Ezekiel, all had a lot of other prophets had the vision of the end time, but they never were permitted to give it to humanity, to reveal it to man. Therefore, the seventh angel have to come before this is fulfilled. So that is where my authority comes. You can go to our website, see the fulfillment of the prophecies. There's no person, there's no prophet, there's no revelation have fulfilled as many prophecies as fulfilled to this mission and to this vessel. The genealogy, my genealogy goes back both to King David and Prophet Muhammad, and that is another thing that Jews and Christians and Muslims were waiting for, and therefore that is another sign. So all signs are given to humanity very clearly to show when that seventh angel or prophet comes. Now your question was about Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha and Shoghi Effendi, and to explain that we have to go a little past Baha'u'llah to the revelation came to Bab, and of course Bab was the founder and the revealer of the fifth seal in the greatest sign or the fifth revelation. He of course came in an environment that was not very hospitable or very, very agreeable with what he was saying. It came in the middle of Iran, in a very Islamic and fundamental country, and of course he suffered immensely, and his followers were murdered and destroyed, and the Bible clearly shows that in the fifth church in the Revelation that they were murdered and they were killed, and they will be given the white robe and will be with Christ at the end time. And but they all cried, God, you know, when then the kingdom will come? And God said, you have to wait a while. Of course, his revelation came in 18th century, and a while for God for 200 years is not that long. So the last revelation of God came 200 years after Bob. Of course, when Bob died, before he was shot and killed, he chose a person by the name of the Sufi Hazal and told everybody that he's going to succeed him. He's going to be the successor of Bob was of Sufi Hazal, and Sufi Hazal came and took over the movement. Of course, he was very timid man. He wasn't very effective, and he was under the influence of his older brother, which titled Abdul Baha, Baha'u'llah. And Baha'u'llah, of course, had immense authority over him, and he actually wasn't doing anything without Baha'u'llah's knowledge, and little by little Baha'u'llah become more important than Sufi Hazal. And eventually the Babis were following the Bab, and the Azalis were following Sufi Hazal, complaining, and Sufi Hazal told Baha'u'llah to go away because people don't want him to be so authoritative and powerful more than the successor. Baha'u'llah goes, and for 2 years he goes and joins the Sufi group. The person left, but he continued. Apparently I knew more than he expected me to know. anyway, so the Hazal told Baha'u'llah to leave, and he went and he joined the Sufi group, and for after 2 years, Sufi Hazal couldn't bear the leaving of Baha'u'llah, so he sent for him, and Baha'u'llah came back, and this time Sufi Hazal absolutely withdrew, and Baha'u'llah became the, almost the head of the organization. And of course, Bab, the founder of the Bababis, he absolutely said that the one who's going to come after me is going to be a while, much longer than 13 years or 14, 15 years that Baha'u'llah eventually declared himself to be he who had, who will be manifested. So, when there was some upheaval in Iraq, the government deported both Sufi Hazal and Abdul Baha'u'llah from Iraq, and they left there. And it is in that time that Baha'u'llah eventually said, "This is me. I am the person really Bob was talking about." And Sufi Hazal absolutely was discarded and disregarded and was taken away from authority completely. So from there, Baha'u'llah, of course, changed a lot of things in the teaching of Bab, because he wanted people to be able to live in that hostile environment. So he absolutely took the militant approach of the Bab in his teaching and made it as a peaceful religion that now we know as the Baha'is or Baha'u'llah's teaching. So God clearly did not choose him as his followers or person who will come after him. He chose his brother, and he eventually took over. First of all, there are many things that you have to be knowledgeable about Baha'i teaching. There are a lot of things it's been said which is not correct. Baha'u'llah, the name, they say means the glory of God. It does not mean the glory of God. Jalalullah means the glory of God. Baha'u'llah wrote a lot of revelations, but he instructed his secretary to destroy them. If he was a seven angel, he should have revealed everything. He shouldn't destroy anything. And so Baha'i's teaching, is absolutely have a lot of things incorrect in it. They don't include mystical path and many, many things. That's why God clearly says in Bible that the fifth revelation is not perfect. It's not complete, it's not the whole truth. So we can see clearly Baha'i teaching and Bab and Azam and Baha'u'llah, especially Bab and Baha'u'llah, were the twin prophets that God has prophesied to come, but they are the fifth seal, not the seventh seal. Baha'u'llah never claimed he is the seventh angel. Actually, no other prophet ever claimed they are the seventh angel. Fathers might, but they have not. And even his son, Abdu'l-Bahá, clearly talks about the seventh angel as coming up as a prophet and the last revelation and all that. So even in Baha'i teaching, it is clearly explained that there is another revelation that's going to come after Baha'u'llah. And of course, after Baha'u'llah dies, he assigned his younger son, Abdu'l-Bahá, to take over the organization. And of course, the older son become very upset about it, and after Baha'u'llah dies, there is a great upheaval between the two brothers, and the two brothers fight for the position of the leadership authority. And there is a, even if all the way it goes to the government of the place they were living, and eventually, of course, you know, Abdu'l-Bahá disowned all his family and the brother and everybody because, you know, they wanted to, you know, take over the organization. So, eventually, Abdu'l-Bahá become the known leader in the Baha'i teaching. And when he dies, he doesn't leave a will, and there is another controversy there that Shoghi Effendi changed the will, and he wasn't really the person who was designed to be the successor. And after Shoghi Effendi, of course, he didn't even leave a will. He was absolutely left the organization without any leader. And of course, Baha'i teaching is split to seven branches now, and there is no guardian like Abdu'l-Bahá and Shoghi Effendi. And Baha'u'llah clearly said that the guardian is the most important thing in the Baha'i faith. Without guardian, there is no Baha'i faith, and there is no guardian. So we can see that in truth, Baha'i teaching and revelation is done and finished it, and there is no such a thing as the teaching that is called Baha'i teaching anymore, because without guardian, there is no Baha'i teaching. So we can see clearly God again makes it very clear that that teaching are done and over with. And of course, reason for many people say, oh, Baha'u'llah said for 1,000 years nobody's going to come after me. That's another problem that Baha'i teaching have, because please don't PM me. You know, I'm not going to accept any PMs. It is not going to be accepted. So don't send any PM to distort the thing, otherwise you're going to be retarded. So no PMs. Just raise your hand, typing text. So Baha'i teaching is done and over with, and now it's the time for the seventh revelation. Go ahead, Nitokas.
Assalamu to everyone. Yeah, I have a question, and I understand some of your the fulfillments that you have fulfilled of the for the Maitreya, but there's some things I don't understand. According to the Bible, let me type this question out in text. I would like to know, why did the Jews pick up stones to stone Christ two times accused him of making himself out to be a god in John chapter 10, verse 33. In John chapter 8, verse 53, they asked him a question, who is he? And then he said in John chapter 8, before Abraham was, I am. And then they picked up stones to stone him. And it goes on to John chapter 10, verse 33. And the reason why, he asked him, why are you stoning me? And they said, because, let me read that. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man makest thyself God. The question I asked him, oops, somebody sent me a PM. The question I have is, I see that you fulfill you fulfill a lot of the requirements for the Maitreya, but my understanding is that Jesus was God, that Christ was God. Can you address that, please?
Sure. There's no problem at all. Yeah. In Jewish, Christian, Islamic, and Baha'i, okay, I'm getting the dad Sergi, he keeps sending PMs to people. I told you, Sergi, don't send PMs, okay? If you keep doing that, you will be retarded, alright? And stop sending PM, or if you continue, you will be bounced. Alright? Don't send PM to people. Oh, he keeps sending this, okay. Alright, Sergi. No, okay. Now it's time for his bouncing. He keeps saying, okay. No, is he talking there? Alright. Let me... Okay. Can somebody please bounce Sergi? He keeps sending PM here. Okay. So, okay. In a Islamic, Christian, and Baha'i, and Jewish teaching, a human being God is very, very unorthodox, because they do not follow the mystical paths. In Hindu and Buddhist teaching, it is something accepted. Actually, every guru and a spiritual teacher, and in those religions, what is it? Okay, all right. Okay, thanks very much. Thanks very much for pointing him. In a Hindus and Buddhist teaching, being God, actually, all the gurus is God, are God, you know, and it's very easy for them to say, yeah, my guru is really God, and therefore, it's not that big a thing for them. Of course, we don't know the time period between 12 years to 30 years of the Christ's life. It is a mystery, and very few people know what happened to him. After 12 years old, he just vanishes from the scene, and then suddenly when he's 30 or 33 or something, and that he returned and started preaching in Palestine. Because there are many speculation and writing about where he was, and in general it is well known that he went to Egypt, studied Egypt teachings and religions and mysticism, then to Persia, and studied Zoroastrian and all that, and then went to India and Hindus and teaching and Buddhist teaching, so became familiar with the mystical path. Actually, there is a place in India that they have a record of Christ being there. It was called Jesus, it was called Esau. And he went there and stayed with these people in this cemetery, and they have record of him being there and record of his speaking. So it's clearly he knew about Hindu teaching and Krishna and all those things. Krishna called himself God, you know, and he is a manifestation of God on earth. And if you compare the teaching of Christ with Bhagavad Gita, you almost feel that somebody took either from Bhagavad Gita and put in the New Testament, or take from New Testament and put in Bhagavad Gita. But because Bhagavad Gita is, of course, older than the New Testament, we can clearly say that some of the saying of the Christ was very similar to what Krishna was saying in the Bhagavad Gita. So we can see that Christ knew, okay, John and Nathaniel, don't PM again, please, you will be bounced if you do that, okay? Okay, bounce John to John Nathaniel. No, John Nathaniel, don't PM me, okay? Thank you. Sounds like the same person comes back again to try to distort the room. Anyway, so we can see that it was very easy for him to come to Palestine and claim what he claimed, because he knew the person can become one with God. But for Jews, it was absolutely unacceptable, because being God and being Jew or Christian or Muslim is absolutely not accepted. That's the problem actually the Sufis have in the Islamic countries. Many Sufis who meditated and reached the point that they jumped of joy and say, "An Allah means I am God," the Orthodox Muslim were just petrified of what they're saying. How can you be God? God is Allah up there, and Muhammad is his prophet, and everybody else is the bondman of God, and you cannot be, you know, be God. So that is exactly what happened to the Jews too, when Christ was saying that I am God, or I am the Son of God, and I represent him. Of course, in this we can see the mystical path, or Hindus and Buddhists have gone too far. Not everybody can become God, not everybody can come and say, I know the word of God, because we know God prophesies for a long time before he sends his revelation, before he sends his, you know, word to humanity through the chosen prophets. If everybody can become God, then how can you, somebody keep sending me, you know, PMing me, even while they are not in the room, they have put my name in their list and they PM me from outside. But you can block them, so I'm keep blocking them here. So we can see that Hinduism and Buddhism have gone too far. Not everybody can become God. Not everybody can be the Son of God. Not everybody can come as a prophet. Only the anointed one, the person who fulfills the prophecy, who come with the clear signs from God, can bring the word of God to humanity. In that sense, of course, we have explained it many times, when such a person is in touch with God, then he gives the word of God, just like we are sitting here together and we are explaining God's way and God's revelation. In that moment, he is connected to God, and he and God are one. That's why the Jews ask him, you know, how can you say that? God says, me and the Father are one, and no one goes to the Father but through me. And he was correct in that moment. A couple of days later, somebody called Christ good, Rabbi, and he says, I'm not good, the only good person is God. What happened? 2 days ago you were saying I'm God, and nobody goes to the Father, and now you're saying you're not even good. What is the conflict and contradiction right there between two states of being of Christ? And many people have been explaining to him, he called himself the Son of God and the Son of Man at the same time. How can he be the Son of God if he is the Son of Man? You know, it's a contradiction. Because in that moment, when he's connected to God, he and the Father are one. Because the Spirit of God coming through him, through you, and there is no separation between the two. The two are one. When he's not there and it's God connected to God, he's just a man, just a human being. And therefore, all those gurus and teachers, in those mystical paths, they call themselves God and have not completed the prophecy and are not the anointed one, are incorrect. They can filter some part of God to humanity, and that is good. They can become the spiritual people who can take you to a point, to a state, but they cannot take you to God. The only person can take you to God is the Messiah, is the revelation of the Word of God, and that only comes through the many, many thousands of years of prophecies before he come and he brings the Word of God to man. Then, in those moments, he's revealing the Word of God, he and God are one, and there is no separation. That's exactly what Prophet Muhammad said. You know, when he was revealing Quran, he said, follow my prophet. Whatever he says is the word, my word. Exactly the same thing. Me and the Father are one. There is no separation between my word, which has come from God to you, and God himself. His word and my word are one. Therefore, me and the Father are one, and no one goes to the Father but through me. So that's here. I've said many times. There is no separation when I give satsangs. Me and God are one. And there is no one goes to the Father but through me and the seven seals and the revelation of the holiest of holies. And if you want to have the grip of the truth and know the mystery of God and his revelations, you have to read so. You have to read the holiest of the holies and see where your religion falls and how God prophesied that you won't know the truth until the seven angels come. Absolutely no religion, no revelation, even the seven angels have the whole truth. And therefore you have to understand and read this teaching in this last revelation to see the truth about your religion. So you can see that, yes, he was God, so was Prophet Muhammad, so was Bob, so was, you know, Moses, so was all the prophets who brought the word of God to man. In that moment that they were revealing the word of God, there was no separation. He and the Father are one. In other words, the other times they are just regular men that lead a regular life. So this explanation is absolutely clear. The confusion that has been reigning for thousands of years in explaining how Christ was God and at the same time he was the Son of Man. How he can be the only way and 2 days later is not even good. Very easily can be seen. I see what you are saying. Great. You focus and here you go. The Holy Spirit, okay? If you go and read our teachings and explanation and revelation that has come to humanity, it's amazing how much truth has been revealed to man at this time. And I hope more and more, of course, the truth and the revelation is preached to humanity. The rooms here are open every day and our teachings are read to man. And many people start seeing the truth little by little. And many people are being connected to us and joining us and coming and seeing the truth. And by this, of course, they will do little by little, understand the teaching more and more and reach a point that they have understood no doubt that the truth has come to them through the seventh angel and glorify God. And that is exactly what this revelation is here, that humanity eventually starts glorifying God, bringing God in their lives and in their relationships, in their communities, in their nations, in their family, in their government, and eventually bring the kingdom of God on earth and realizing he exists, he is able, he promises, he fulfills them, And now it is the time for those who have been meditating, reading the scriptures, and preparing themselves for this revelation, come forward and say, yes, I want to be a part of this truth and revelation, and join us and create the community of light wherever you are, or come here and help and progress in our path. So I might say, do you think Christ had a wife, or do you think he was an austere person? It is very doubtful that Christ didn't have a wife, because it is a part of Jewish tradition that the men have to have wives in the community to be accepted. And if you don't have a wife and you are single, usually you will look down to and you're not able to really present yourself as a part of the community, even being asked to read in the synagogue. You know, if you were a single person, you know, I'm sure that still that is true in many Jewish community, and therefore most probably he did have wives, and we know Mary and Martha were very close to him, and they were taking care of him. They, you know, of course, in the Bible, it presented them like a big friend, and they tried to make him absolutely unearthly, something that had no connection to earth, but most probably Mary and Martha were his wives. And in Jewish tradition, of course, so Islamic tradition, there are polygamy is not a sin or against the law, so most probably Mary and Martha, but actually surely Mary and Martha were his wives. And it goes very well with our teachings that when Christ or a perfect person just like Christ, you know, there is two parts, like Shiva and Shakti, and Shakti and Radha, and Durga, and other parts of the Shiva, Krishna. There's always two parts in a person who comes to humanity. So we can see that clearly he was married, there's no doubt about that. And all right, any other question? Brad, I didn't see your question on tags. I don't know if you still have a question or you just decided not to. Okay. In the supplements in Doe, they have the written merge into God or play the play. There it says that merging with God is not the goal of creation. What is the difference between merging with God and becoming divine and reaching pure consciousness? Yeah, well, merging with God is the teaching of the mystical path. All the mystical path teach you are like a drop and you reach pure consciousness or reach God and you fall into ocean. And when you as a drop fall into the ocean, you become ocean. Then you drop the water into ocean and say, yeah, I can still see the drop. It becomes a part of the ocean or become the ocean itself. So the goal of the life in the Hinduism and many other mystical paths is to become one with God and merge with him and leave this body. Therefore, the teaching is, I don't care about this world. This world is illusion. And therefore, we don't have to worry about it, you know. Don't worry about this world, and because it's delusion, and therefore the goal is to merge with God and forget about this world. We say, of course, God says if you do that, and you reach to that state, I will spew you out of my mouth, as he said it in chapter 3 in Revelation, that those who think they have no problem, they are neither cold and hot, you know, and they are lukewarm, therefore I will spew you out of my mouth. So clearly God is not with those people. They shun this external world and forget about it, and they say it's an illusion. You don't even have to be worried about it. He said, no, you have to also consider this external world, not as an illusion, but as a relative truth. It is not permanent, it is not ultimate, it is a relative truth to humanity, and therefore you can not ignore it. You have to stay in the world and create the communities of light, meditate, have recognition of your sources, sacrifice, become surrendered, submissive to God, and become universalist, and become paravipas, become the elect, and therefore play the play. Be here and be effective and strong and take the life with the horn or fight it back or whatever is needed to succeed in this world, at the same time being in the community. So the community actually supports you in coming back to an environment that you can meditate, you can go to God, and then go external to external world, and of also succeed in it. Of course, the more community life we create, the more external world will become acceptable and beautiful and based on God, and therefore it becomes easier to go there and share and be together. But that, of course, at this time, we are not in that space, and still humans have to go to an environment that is not based on the communalization of the Word of God. So at least community is a relief, it's a place that you can go back and know the godly people are there with you, and you can rely on them or talk about God with them and meditate and have spiritual courses. Therefore, play the play. Play the process of traditional communities of light, you know, and bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth, and instead of sitting just there and say, Om, I'm going to go to God, I don't care about the whole universe because it's illusion. That is not our teaching at all. So that is what that essay is trying to convey. Don't look at this external world as an illusion or delusion. It is a relative truth based on the goal of life, which is to become divine. And the path to become divine is the eternal divine path. Meditation, awakening of the spiritual forces, concentration, contemplation, prayer, reading of the scriptures and the word of God, and enveloping yourself with the teaching and revelation of God, and your life based on godly ways. Then trying to either join a community which is based on the eternal divine path, to become a part of the community of life, or to start a community wherever you are, you know, and explain these teachings to them and let them know that they have to follow it and only one path too. Little by little, of course, more and more communities of life can be created and will be created, and eventually we maybe will have wonderful godly environment, you know, that they can go back to. You know, we are not a cult. We're not telling you come here and join us only and stay with us and don't go anywhere. Actually, we encourage you to go to external world, to succeed in external world, be in the external world, but come back to the community, come back to God. And as, of course, our numbers increase, the number of communities of life increase, little you go out there and you meet people that are also in communities of life. And you can talk about God and revelations and, you know, all the scriptures, you know, to such a people in this community we have here, they go to the world, you know, a Muslim come and they talk about Islam to them, and after a while the Muslim says, how come you know so much about Islam? They go on a Baha'i came and they talk about Baha'i teaching, and they say, how come you know so much about Baha'i? So little by little, you know, the people realize that people in the mission of Isaiah, they are absolutely knowledgeable of all the revelations of God and teaching, and they know even more than the followers of those religions know, and they know even more because they follow eternal divine paths. And this is also, of course, the grassroots movement will increase, and when it reaches the critical point, it's going to happen. The kingdom will come, and God has promised this will happen, and therefore that is our salvation, that God promises and is fulfilled them. But that is the way, that is the path. The path is eternal divine path. The path is not just meditate. The creation is created based on the original chaos. This is not just created for our enjoyment and sitting here meditating and spacing it out. It is absolutely, God says, there was darkness in the beginning. There was chaos in the beginning. And God moved to bring this chaos back to the light. That is why He's sending the Spirit into that darkness to go through the process being with the darkness, and eventually there was light. How He reached that light? He recognized the eternal divine path. He followed the eternal divine path. He went back to God. He became light of the world and became the first begotten Son of God. And then, of course, God, from then on, continues with the evolution to bring the man to this point again. They realize this is not an illusion. This world is not an illusion. This world is the relative truth. And the goal of the life is to become divine. And in order to become divine, you follow eternal divine path. If you're not following eternal divine path, you won't get to the divinity. So clearly, this teaching is different than mystical teaching of Hinduism. It actually explains, where Hindus go wrong. It is not illusion. Their teaching is, this world is illusion, don't worry about it. And Christians and Hindus and Jews and Muslims, they have become completely worldly. They say, our prophet is the only way, and we are just, the bondsmen of man, or we have just to go to God. We have no ability to become one with life. But each have a part of the truth. Again, this is unified. Judo, Christian, Islamic, and Baha'i teaching doesn't teach that you and God can become one. It doesn't teach that the goal of the life is to become one with God. The moment somebody says that, it's blasphemy in those religions. In Hinduism, they say this world is illusion and delusion, and you have only salvation is to let a drop falling into the ocean and absolutely getting this world. This teaching, again, says no. You all have a part of the truth. You have realized only a part of God's plan. The truth is this world is darkness. This world is hell. This world, if you talk about the hell, that's what it is. Your goal is make this hell heaven. That's why the kingdom of heaven has to come on earth. And the way to reach to that point is eternal divine path. So, we have to forego our understanding that, yes, we have to forget about this world, and we have to just meditate and go to God or go to the mountain and forget about this world. We have to realize, no, we have to extend this world, we have to create the community of life, we have to sacrifice for it, you have to become servant, submissive to the will of God. What is the will of God for me in the commons of life? What He created me for? That how can I help the commons of life being created and become universalist? Then you become a elect, and even then you're going to have 1,000 years to continue doing that before you become a son of God. Of course, son means in the image of God. When they say, I am the Son of God, I'm in the image of God. Me and the Father are one. Because your Son is going to be in your image. He's going to be in the image of you and your wife. So, of course, any gene you had before you. But that is what the Son of God means. It means becoming one with the Father in His image. You can manifest His quality. So that is the goal of life. The goal of the life is not to forget about this world. The goal of life is not to look at this world as a delusion or illusion, but as a relative truth has been created as an intermediary way or a stage that man can come and progress in fastest way possible to life and become one with God. Of course, 1,000 years to God is just a second in time, but that is going to take for that is how long it's going to take for many, even of the elect and paravritas, to reach sonhood. So that is what this teaching is conveying to humanity. You should not forgo or forget the external world. The only way to bring an environment that everybody progress in a greater degree is the creation of the community of life. And with this understanding, you no longer are escaping. You no longer are
person that says this external illusion. This understanding of teaching, also you realize that this external world is not all there is in the universe. There is a spiritual world that human is not aware of. He doesn't even know it exists. That the third eye was closed, you know, at the time of Noah. If they understand this, they understand that, yeah, this is the state that they have been put in and put through history to this point. Now they can look at it and say, okay, now we can go back to have our power, to have our understanding of spiritual path. We can awaken our forces and create an environment that more and more people see these things very clearly, and then external, the spiritual world become very, very real to these people, and eventually become actually the more truth. Just before the flood of Noah, the spiritual world was more truth than this external world, and they were almost like a being state, not a being state, but in a state that they could see the seed, they could see the power, they could manipulate the powers, but of course they failed because they manipulate for selfish reasons. That is why God closed the human third eye. And now we are again back to that point. Our third eye might be open and we can see the spiritual world, but with the history of man for the last 2,000 years, with the teaching, with the coming of the revelation from the other prophets, now man hopefully have learned the lessons, and they realize by not following God's way, they will have war, destruction, separation, and all the things we can see for the last 6,000 years or even later, man has. You know, man has not been able to bring peace on earth because man's spiritual eye was closed and left for 6,000 years alone, only was sent the revelation of God through prophets. Now, God is explaining very clearly that is what he was doing. He closed man's eye. He sent the prophet. And the only way for man to have peace is the way of God. And the way of God is the eternal divine path. An eternal divine path will lead you to it. Divinity or Godhood. Any other way, any selfish way, even when you awaken your spiritual forces, you can see, you know, just right now, few people, you know, awaken their spiritual forces a little bit. Right away they go get an 800 number and start, you know, accepting, you know, credit cards for insulting you. So, what happened? The moment that they reach a little, you know, spiritual, you know, understanding, they become psychic, and they start making money out of it instead of going even greater and greater degree toward becoming one with God and fulfilling the goal of the life. So you can see why God doesn't give us this spiritual power. Because the moment we get this spiritual power, we want to use it for our selfish desires, for selfish things. That is why we are looking for people who are not selfish. They are not self-centered. They are not people who don't understand the sound of God. They are people that they want to follow as another one. And that is the goal. And God is not going to give up on his vision and goal, but he will fulfill his vision and his goal. And that is the goal of life, to become divine. That is the goal of life is not to make a lot of money. Is the goal of life is not to, you know, become a doctor or professor or, you know, succeed in this external world as something you... It becomes your goal, but the goal of your life, the first goal in life is to become divine. Of course, if you have the ability to become a good doctor, great, you know, but it should not become absolutely possess you. The only thing you have to be possessed with is God and the Spirit and progress in your way. I hope that answers your question. Brad, if you have any follow-up, go ahead, raise your hand or type in text. And again, here is the sure, Brad. I hope that makes sense. One thing, you know, you really have to concentrate on is why the creation was created in the beginning. A lot of people think God came and said, okay, be here, and it was there. But Bible doesn't say that. Bible says even before he created the creation, there was chaos, darkness. That part, most of the people who read the Bible keep forgetting, you know. If they concentrate on that, they realize there was darkness, and God created creation to help that darkness go back to God. They realize, so the goal of the life, the goal of the creation is to get rid of that darkness. So the whole, this whole elaborate creation is for that reason. If that is the reason for it, therefore it is not just, you know, God came and said, there's no reason from the blue, came and said, okay, here's the man, and here's the, you know, evolution, and all that. We can see God has a purpose for this creation, because creation is created for a reason. It's been created for a purpose, and the purpose is to take that darkness back to life, bring the equilibrium to the universe, go back where it was before. If we understand that, then we can't be escaping, because that is not the goal of life. Okay, the simple is asking if there is truth in astrology. If there is truth in everything that humans believe a little bit, but none of them are ultimate. And there is no reason, there is no doubt, the no moon affects water on Earth, and actually when it's the full moon, the crime rate goes up, and the emergency rooms fills up even in the great east. It's a known fact that that happens in the full moon. Now, what it happens is because it pulls the liquid of the body toward the brain, therefore the brain becomes confused and therefore mind is not working as clearly as it used to be when it's a full moon. Now, if the other aspect of the universe also affect them, yes, they do. And the only problem, astrology only concentrates on the solar system and the effect of the planets on humans, but humans is not only affected with the planet in the solar system, but they are also affected with the whole universe. Therefore, if really you want to know exactly how astrology should work, is you have to consider the effect of every planet and solar systems and supernovas and many, many other places that they have effect on Earth and the whole universe. Then you might come as close to understanding the correct astrology or the effect of them on you. So astrology has some truth like everything else, but it's not the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is eternal divine path on creation of the communist of light. Even astrology might even progress in the communist of light if the astrologers start bringing the effect of the whole universe into picture instead of just concentrating on the solar system. Again, welcome to the Mission of Materials conversation room. This is the last revelation from God to humanity. This is the call to elect to come and see the truth that has been revealed to man at this time, and start understanding the will of God for humans, and start creation of the communities of light everywhere they are. You can start from your family, from your friends, from wherever you are. When did Jesus gain to your consciousness? Before the start of the of his or her point after. Because the start of his or her some point after. Okay, yeah. Christ was the first begotten Son of God, and first begotten Son of God reached to consciousness even before creation. Actually, the first begotten Son of God was the Spirit of God who God sent into the darkness. And if you read our teaching in the very beginning, of the Zohar, or the Holiest of the Holies, explains how the Spirit of God came through the darkness and went through the eternal divine path. It came through the darkness, it meditated on the darkness because it was the Spirit of God. He realized that, you know, they are lost and absolutely are not godly, and they are selfish and self-centered and egoistical, and therefore he starts meditating and attracted a few beings around, or unit consciousness around himself, to this meditation and awakening of spiritual forces. As the number increased, he realized the greater the number, the greater the Spirit of God will manifest through them. Therefore, he realized there is a necessity for the coming of light, and he brought these people closer to himself. Of course, he later on realized, in order to do that, you have to sacrifice, you have to give up yourself, you have to, you know, be concerned for other people instead of only thinking about yourself all the time. But what is good for the community, what is best that can help the community in a greater degree, therefore he realized sacrifice is necessary. And as he sacrificed, of course, if he didn't succeed, he became depressed, he became unhappy. Why is not happening? Why nobody is, you know, coming to the community that he was trying to create and bring to the kingdom of God? And or if it started happening and people start joining, he felt, wow, look at that, I'm doing all this thing, I'm great, wonderful, and became egoistical and felt on the grace. He then realized, wow, really he is not the doer, it's God is doing it through him, and therefore he realized he has to surrender and submit the desire to God, or even let God come through. And with this, of course, he realized surrendering and submission is necessary, and he concentrated on his community and absolutely left the rest of the universe out. But little by little, he realized God is everything. How can you leave anybody out? So he expanded himself and become universalist and tried to help everybody, you know, to join the community and go back to God. And of course, that is the message of Baha'i Universalism. It is, of course, he became an elect, Paravitra, and he continued in his path and eventually reached pure consciousness back to God. And that's what God said, and there was light, and the light was good. And God said, the path is great. It's a wonderful path to bring darkness back to Godhead. And, of course, human did not listen to that spirit, and it was harder to help the man in the state of unmanifested world. Therefore, God created creation, and in creation, of course, it was supposed to accelerate the process of progress of man to God. But of course, as we know in the Bible, clearly after creation, the sin man was very selfish, and he was one. He was alone, and God thought that man is alone. Alone means all one. He was one, therefore God separated man to man and woman, or higher nature and lower nature, and the lower nature, of course, fell and brought the higher nature down, and that was the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, and they were throughout of the Eden and came even in a more gross world, so have to till the ground and suffer more. With suffering, of course, they reach a point where they say, what is this body? What is this life? What is this suffering and, you know, all that? There has to be more, and then that is when they start meditating and hearing the word of God, and little by little they become more godly. Of course, even that wasn't enough. Abel killed, you know, the Cain killed Abel and tried to hide from God, and God, of course, knows what happened. So, all this happened eventually to the flood of Noah, that God even closed the third eye of man and made us. We don't have even our third eye open, and we don't know the spiritual world anymore. And we are absolutely physical bodies, and even he took the telepathic ability from us. So, that is what the creation was to this point. Now we have to go back to that spirit, and connect to God. But this time, by understanding the last 2,000 years and the lesson God has been given to us, the destruction, the war will bring. How human by itself cannot bring the peace. The only way to bring the peace is God. Okay? No matter how many wars we wage, how many destruction we bring, how many ways we try to bring peace, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. The only way is the way of God. And that's what he's trying to show us. That's what his revelation has come to humanity, to let them know they can do it by themselves. The only way is God learning their lesson and becoming an elect and an instrument for God. And therefore, Christ came, Christ reached, or the Spirit that came through the Christ, the Spirit came through me, the Spirit came through Muhammad, that is the first begotten Son of God, the Spirit of God, and reached through consciousness before the creation. And God right now is giving satsang to you through the internet, and that's what he's doing. Go ahead, Shirin.
Hello, Maitreya. My question is in regards to the recent events and the landing of the craft on Mars and all of this. I know in previous satsangs it's been about man needs to, humans need to reach to space to find the infinite resources so we can quit fighting each other here on Earth. But it seems like it's encouraging that now that this information, this new leap is available to human consciousness, and it just feels encouraging that now God is releasing this information to humanity. Could you comment more about that?
Sure. Uh-huh. Actually, I was very happy to see Mr. Bush is trying to do the will of God and look forward to the space. Of course, I hope it continues even after elections, and they are serious about it, and really are going to put effort into it and reach really out. Of course, it has to become an international endeavor. We have so many minds at this time are being wasted, you know, in all over the earth, that they don't have the opportunity really to put their mind into this great endeavor. And if we create the community of light and the kingdom of heaven on earth and sharing and the cooperation, we can bring great pool of great minds that God will send to humanity, and they can easily decipher the space traveling and how we can make, you know, the leap to going to other planets or solar system, and not thousands of millions of years, but much faster and easier, and eventually colonize other planets so we can bring more unit consciousnesses. We can meditate and follow eternal divine path and reach God and accelerate the process. So humanity, knowingly or unknowingly, are going toward the unity and cooperation. Eventually they will realize this is only one world, and they have no choice but to share it with each other. And by reaching to the space, of course, the limit of the resources will be resolved, because the universe is unlimited or unlimited. And if they reach the universe and this other planet, there are resources there just waiting for man to go and extract and leave, and even they can move maybe the polluting industry in the uninhabited, you know, planets, and the pollution problem might be resolved as well. So of course, more and more they will find the science that doesn't create pollution. Those great minds that at this time are wasted in countries, they don't have enough opportunity to develop in them, and those minds come together, and eventually human realizes they are much better off if they overcome their selfishness and share a little bit and come together and create an earth that is peaceful and give everybody, every man, woman, child, the opportunity to progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. Then we will have a great creative mind that are begging to be noticed and given opportunity that they will bring the great leap forward to human evolution, and going to space become a very easy thing to do. And as human, of course, the numbers increase, they can go and live in other planets and make those planets habitable for themselves. A lot of people say, well, there is explosion of the population, you know, but if we have a way to, send some of this population living other planets, we won't have billions of planets even in our own solar system. So we can see that all the answers are given. The solar system are here for humanity, and the whole universe is open for humanity to go and colonize and progress, even if colonize and progress in a greater degree in all levels. So it's a good step, it's a good start. I hope it lasts and continues. It has been proposed before. Actually, I think the father of Bush have the first Bush proposed the same thing, and of course, apparently he died because of the budget and financial reasons. This time they say it's a little more practical, and I hope he's right, and they do it. And probably if we divert the resources we are spending on wars and discussion on Earth and bring the peace, we can use those resources in a greater degree to reach out to space and solve our, limitation of the resources that we are all know exist, and that's the reason for most of these wars and destruction. And if we understand that, then we can solve a lot of problems that we have at this time. So the question, the vision, if we can give this vision to the leaders, if we can give this vision to the people who make the decisions, and they eventually realize that, yes, if we stop small bickering and destructive, religion that are on Earth, and realize God has sent all of them, and forget about our dogmas, about, I am the chosen one, I am the last one, I am the best one, I am the this and that, and realize God has been sending this revelation to all of them, and now they all are part of God, and come together and bring the peace, and that's the only way to do it. Yes, we can release great resources and human mind to concentrate on reaching to the universe. And we have the ability, we have the resources, but we're using them in the wrong way. Because there is no vision. The vision is small. The vision is limited to now in this limited Earth. They can't expand their vision to become a universal and reach out into it. So we can see that the answer is there, it's given. But they have to expand their vision. They have to see this revelation truly and become one together. Forgo the dogmas, their own understanding, but God's understanding. If they do it tonight, we're going to have peace tomorrow. If they do it tonight, we're going to have enough resources to do what, they want to do. If they do it tonight, we have enough money to be put into endeavor and succeed. Okay, any other questions there? I hope that answers the question, Shireen, and I hope that humanity do eventually see that they are much better off if they succeed in this and become one with God's word and the universe. And of course, if they don't, they will suffer themselves. And that is unfortunately that it sounds like that's what's going to happen. That's the prophecy that humanity will not going to listen. They're not going to give up these small visions, and a great destruction is going to come to them. And that's unfortunate because the answer is given to them. God has revealed a way to bring peace and unity. God has brought to them the way out. expanded their vision, unified them, and said, you are all brothers and sisters, you are our brothers and sisters in God, you have the children of the same Creator. There is no separation between any religions or people, and therefore you can become one and create the kingdom of heaven on earth. And the way is the eternal divine path. It's very simple. Every individual has to understand the eternal divine path, unity of the religion, and start following it. Fighting it is not gonna work. God has decided this is it. His kingdom will come. Now, if you go against his will, what's gonna happen? Do you think you will succeed? People in the past did not succeed. Before the flood of Noah, even they were more powerful than we were. And they did not succeed. So you can completely see the vision are much more expanded than any on earth. The idea is good. The idea is good to reach the space, but the idea is based on a small vision. And a small vision, of course, do not succeed. This is not the time for a vision of one, you know, place of earth to do this. It's the time for expanding our understanding to the whole earth. Okay, there's a question about any thought on the New World Order. I guess I suppose you're referring to the business classes take over the world and unify them, because unification of the world is good for the business, so they don't have to fight Iraq and take care of Saddam Hussein before we can have some resources in those areas, and we can all cooperate and create a environment that's the purpose. That again goes with the smallness of the vision, and the New World Order is only for Earth. And those who have created the New World Order is going to be the people who will run it and take advantage of it and bring a great suffering again to humanity and enslave the rest of the Earth to become workers for the business class. And of course, that any time the vision is small, this will get more suffering and destruction. The only way to overcome this destructive vision is expansion of the mind and bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth. That is again is a human idea. And to them it is a good idea. They think because they thought about it and it works for them, it is a good idea, but it is not a God's idea. Not God's idea, and because it's not God's idea, it's not going to work. The only idea from God is what He already have gone through and established, and that is the eternal divine path, coming of light, bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth, and creation a community that individuals can progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. In the New World Order, there is no talk about individual salvation to God or life. There is no talk about, you know, every man and woman should progress physically, mentally, and spiritually and emotionally. It is talking about how he can best use the resources on earth. That is there. There, the vision is small and it's not gonna be effective as they think it will. It brings resentment, destruction, revolutions, terrorism, and all the things that we can see, we already have them, you know. Therefore, it is not a good idea. The good idea is God's idea. Okay, I hope you all enjoyed this conversation with me, and our time is up. I do. Okay, if you have a question, Gunaya, go ahead and ask please. And if there's any no other question left here, then we farewell. say farewell to all of you, and we leave you to God to ponder on these teachings and the truth and the revelation, and become one with what has been revealed to you through God, and become one with this truth. Have a good week. Be with God, and God be with you. And read though, go to our website, understand our teaching, and be one with the truth that has been given to you. Sanamata Bhagavad.